coming to you from Mind's Eye with this week's People Magazine.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American's Business and Oil and Lifestyle sections, followed by Far West Texas News at 7.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
Performances. The Midland Odessa Symphony Orchestra will perform Beethoven's 8th, formerly Tchaikovsky 4, for the finale of its Masterwork Series, 7:30 p.m. April 10th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Due to unforeseen circumstances, the title and program reportedly had to be changed, and Tchaikovsky 4 tickets will be honored for entrance into Beethoven's 8th. Masks are required for entrance, and seating will be socially distanced. Tickets start at $10 and can be purchased at MOSC.org. Student tickets are free with a paying adult or valid college ID. For more information on MOSC events, visit MOSC.org.
If you're a do-it-yourselfer, don't let physical challenges limit your imagination. Each week, the guys on The Blind Handyman answer questions and offer tips on home maintenance and upgrades. The Blind Handyman, direct from Lufkin, Texas. Monday nights at 7, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday nights at 11 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland, Odessa area. It's 50 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 60s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 70s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, March 20th. Energy industry met challenge of addressing pandemic. The story was written by Mella McEwen. For a century, oil and gas producers have been challenged by the complexities of coaxing oil and natural gas from Permian Basin rocks. But they have never faced a challenge like the one they encountered last March as the novel coronavirus began to tear through the nation. As the virus spread, businesses of all kinds sent employees home and shut down, forcing them to figure out how to continue operating in this new environment. Companies across the energy spectrum told the Reporter Telegram that as the pandemic took hold, safety became a top consideration. Chevron reacted by announcing a capital reduction of nearly $2 billion in the Permian in order to balance short-term cash flow with preserving long-term value, Katie Matthews, public and government affairs advisor, told the Reporter Telegram by email. She said the company reduced its operated rig count from 17 to 4 over 3 months. Production was curtailed in the second quarter, but returned to levels seen in early 2020 during the second half of the year. Matthews said Chevron also rushed to support the communities where it operates by contributing over $700,000, including in-kind donations to partners and programs across the Permian to support food security, education, and frontline operations. A year later, she said, quote, "Every decision we make starts with the core belief that people always come first. The health and safety of our workforce, their families and communities where we do business, are Chevron's primary concerns. We continue to take precautionary measures to reduce the risk of exposure, including referring symptomatic workers for testing and screening workers and visitors at company facilities." business continuity measures, including alternative work arrangements, are being implemented as needed. Quote, our thoughts continue to be with those affected by COVID-19 and the healthcare workers on the front lines, end quote. Occidental Petroleum implemented a work-from-home policy for those employees able to work from home. For those performing essential duties in the company's work site, best practices for safety and health were implemented, including social distancing, wearing face coverings, and other personal protective equipment. Company officials and internal health and safety experts continue to monitor guidance from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the World Health Organization, and local health officials where Occidental operates. Vicki Holub, Chief Executive Officer, commented during recent earnings calls that, quote, no matter how favorable or challenging the environment in which we operate, we never take our eye off safety. Many of our teams tied or set new safety records last year, while our company-wide performance was our best ever as we simultaneously worked to minimize the risk from COVID. The capability of our outstanding employees to consistently deliver remarkable results safely was key to our ability to navigate the challenges of the last year, as well as the challenges presented by the winter storm, end quote. She continued, quote, while much has changed during this pandemic for our company and our industry, the quality of our asset base and the skills of our teams will support success in 2021 and beyond. We'll continue to apply and build our knowledge and continuously improve our track record of operational excellence. Our teams worked diligently to advance our development technologies and technical operations to ensure we emerge from this challenge stronger than before. The innovation and ingenuity of our workforce, combined with our differentiated low-carbon strategy, will drive our success and sustainability long into the future, end quote. Coping with the pandemic could be more challenging for those unable to work from home, like drilling companies, service companies, and midstream companies. Reflecting on how Patterson-UTI reacted, Diana Dottolo, Senior Vice President of Human Resources, told the Reporter Telegram by email, quote, and a word, collaboration, end quote. She went on to comment that, quote, when things first started, our immediate priority was to establish a representative cross-section of leaders across all aspects of our company to collaborate on putting together a COVID-19 risk mitigation plan. That plan was the driver for all the other actions and activities. The team we pulled together included legal, HR marketing, operations, IT, and supply chain, full company representation, all the major functions and internal stakeholders. We assessed where we were against what we knew about the virus and its trajectory, and then overlaid that information with what we needed to consider doing in priority order overall, as well as to meet needs at individual locations. Given all the uncertainties for each state where we operate and changing dynamics with CDC guidance, we had to, and still do, revisit the plan periodically as the situation developed and changed, end quote. Because it was classified as an essential business, she said the company remained open and operational, but had to develop guidelines and protocols for office workers versus on-site teams. That included allowing individuals the option of working remotely and providing computers if needed. Visitors to company facilities were limited, and Patterson worked with leading companies at its offices to establish protocols and standards and engage with sanitizing companies to dispatch them where exposures occurred. Quote, what we discovered is how hard it is for managers to check in and manage teams remotely, so we had to develop protocols and trainings to ensure teams were running effectively, she said. The last year, quote, has probably been the most challenging year in my 30-plus year career as an HR professional, especially when considering we were managing a people health pandemic alongside a market health pandemic. However, it also came in with some very gratifying moments watching people step up and work together to tackle the challenges that were in front of us. When I look back on the past year, I am stunned at all we accomplished. The major changes we made would have been challenging in a normal year, but the addition of the pandemic dimension makes what we were able to do truly amazing. We leaned heavily on our team, and as things kept changing rapidly, we were able to adjust and manage it on the fly, end quote. What Patterson has learned from his experiences is that people can be very effective working remotely, she said, though many miss the personal interaction. Another lesson was the need to manage people differently remotely than on-site. Managers must be more intentional and individualized in their outreach, she said, which is critical when it comes to bringing new people on board. For Warrior Technologies, the pandemic resulted in the shutdown of an entire division that cleaned only large storage tanks, Trip Womack, Chief Executive Officer and President, told a reporter Telegram by email. He said this was in response to midstream budgets being cut to near zero. Quote, thankfully, all the equipment needed for the division was paid for and is back in operation now, he reported. The company made large general and administration expenditure cuts as revenues fell by half, he added. Recovery began in November and, quote, has trended nicely since. We were profitable and just exceeded year-over-year revenue in January, end quote. As a result, he said the company has learned that safety, especially regarding COVID-19 protocols, matters. The company had zero lost team hours due to the pandemic and only a few cases. And, he said, watching the costs is a never-ending focus. Eagle Claw Midstream leadership sensed the pandemic could cause significant disruptions as early as January and February of 2020. Jim Schwartz, Senior Director of Corporate Communications and Sustainability, told a reporter Telegram by email. By last February, he said, non-essential travel was restricted, changes to cleaning and sanitizing offices has been made, and employees showing any symptoms were urged to stay home and self-quarantine. On March 19th, the company implemented its remote work plan and largely remains in place today, he said. Company leadership also began regular communications with employees about how Eagle Claw was navigating the pandemic. Because of the tighter cash flow situation, the chief executive officer and president decided to forego 100% of his salary and bonuses, and executive leadership took short-term salary reductions, ensuring none of the employees had to be furloughed. Schwartz said employees joined those of other companies in stepping up to donate to healthcare workers, first responders, school children, and educators. Quote, overall, it's been challenging, but we're seeing increasing confidence in our customers to invest in new oil and gas developments and projects, he said. The rebuilding may take some time, but we're patient and we are confident in the skills and insights of our customers, who include most of the major oil and gas producers in the Permian, end quote. Asked what lessons have been learned, he said the pandemic and last month's winter storm brought several important things to light. Quote, first, there is no substitute for open, transparent, and frequent communications. Our CEO increased his communication to everyone, employees, suppliers, customers, lenders, investors, and government officials. The payoff was everyone understood what we were doing and why, and supported our actions. Second, relationships matter. We are proud to have built strong, trusting relationships with our employees, customers, suppliers, and others we depend on. We called upon those relationships to help us get through some tough times, and we will continue to build and deepen relationships. Third, tough times don't last, but tough people do. We saw that our people showed a toughness and grittiness to get the job done, and we're grateful for their extraordinary efforts. We believe that we came out of the pandemic even stronger, more aligned, and more excited about our future together. We are a family, and the true bonds of this family have strengthened immeasurably from the experiences of the past 12-plus months. Industry veteran sees positive outlook for Permian production. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Beset by crises from oil demand destruction caused by the pandemic to the accompanying oil market crash, Permian Basin residents are wondering what the future holds for the region. Mike Pardee, president of Barrel Oil and Gas, tapped into his experience, ranging from Cities Service to Wagner & Brown to Reliance Energy, to assess that future in a virtual presentation to the West Texas Geological Society this week. Quote, "I don't know about the future of the Permian Basin. I can tell you what I think. That and $4.80 gets a cup of coffee at Starbucks," he quipped. He went on to tell his audience that, quote, "What I see for the Permian Basin is good things as long as prices stay up," end quote. "The caveat is," he added, "not just supply and demand, but how long the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries will let U.S. shale growth continue before they step in to take back market share." Quote, "The future looks good for production growth in the Permian," he continued. "I see a lot of activity in the Permian. The Permian will be the place to be for the next few years. The Permian Basin will push other basins out. We'll see ups and downs, but there's a tremendous amount of resources here," end quote. In just 5 years, from 2011 to 2016, the Permian doubled its production, he pointed out, and then doubled it again over the next 3 years. Quote, "That's a tremendous growth trajectory," end quote. Though Permian production has leveled off, Pardee, a past president of the American Association of Petroleum Geologists, said the Permian could make up all the U.S. production lost to well shut-ins because of the pandemic. That would return the U.S. to its 2019 levels of 13 million barrels a day. Beyond price levels, Pardee said, another hurdle to growth is President Biden's executive orders pausing oil and gas permits on federal lands due to expire on March 31st and halting new oil and gas leases on federal lands. Those moves would primarily affect New Mexico, he said. Quote, "That could hinder growth in New Mexico. It could also cause growth to happen. A lot of permits have been issued this past year as companies looked ahead to what could happen when Biden took office," he said. "There will be a lot of companies drilling," end quote. Midland will also do well as production grows, he said, but he decried the impact of consolidation on jobs, citing the loss of jobs resulting from the ConocoPhillips-Concho Resources merger, for example. Pardee predicted there will continue to be mergers, whether it's large public companies merging or private equity companies buying each other out. Quote, "There's no appetite from large public companies to buy private companies unless it's a bolt-on acquisition," he said. What he sees gaining momentum is the use of SPACs, Special Purpose Acquisition Companies, to buy assets. Of the Permian's two dominant producing basins, the Midland and the Delaware, he sees the Delaware as having the pay with the best potential, citing the potential of the Wolfcamp and Bone Spring formations. Quote, "Another thing, as we go into energy transition, natural gas has to be part of the conversation. The Delaware is gassier," he said. "As we move to the west side of Lee County, it has more gas. As gas prices improve and more people go green and using natural gas for electricity, the Delaware will play a role," end quote. That gives rise to concerns about takeaway capacity, Party said. While additional pipeline capacity has been built and the region has good takeaway capacity now, he said that could change. Quote, if we see the growth we're seeing by the end of next year, if pipelines don't get completed, we'll be back to takeaway constraints, he said. Takeaway could be a big issue for the Delaware, end quote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, March 21st, 2021. Significant Market Reversals at Hand by Dennis Elam, Associate Professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and the 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. His blog is themarketperspective.com. Quote from the Wall Street Journal. Oil price fell more than 7% on Thursday, recording their biggest one-day drop since September. Selling U.S. government bonds accelerated Thursday, sending yields soaring again. End quote. Several markets are at or near significant short-term, less than a year, reversals. This presents an excellent low-cost entry. Let's take a look. Bonds. The U.S. government spent $2 for every $1 it took in the last 12 months. In the last year, the 30-year yield has jumped from less than 1% to 2.4%. That is right at the 2000-week moving average. It is probably time for a correction here. The stage is set for bonds to rally in a corrective pattern beginning next week. Energy. There were numerous articles this week that peak demand for gasoline has now passed. As noted, crude oil fell 7% Thursday. As Jay Leno notes, the 1800s were powered by steam, the 1900s by gasoline and diesel, and the 2000s will be electric. Crude oil almost doubled since last November, $35 to $65. One can bet on lower oil prices via the ETF DUG. NASD. 1 year ago, stocks peaked in February and sold off into the end of March. The same has happened this year, but without the dramatic 38% drop. The NASD composite is tracing out an ABC corrective pattern. Wave B peaked at 13,600. Wave C will likely end under the previous low of 12,400. That could take several more days of trading. Gold has dropped from $2,075 last August to $1,732. I expect it to continue to drop. Silver remains in a sideways pattern in the same time frame, no matter what William Devane says about it on cable TV ads. Social mood is developing from positive to negative. Team Biden accused Putin of interfering in the U.S. elections and answered that yes, he thought Putin was a murderer. Russia recalled its U.S. ambassador. This is usually a prelude to cutting off diplomatic relations. Putin challenged Biden to a live debate Monday or Tuesday. The White House, of course, demurred. Biden is not good at offhand remarks, and this is a great example. Point here is that positive mood generates positive events, like buying stocks. After a 15,000-point rally in the DJIA, record call option volume, record new accounts opening by inexperienced traders, speculation in stocks with no earnings, just like the dot-coms in year 2000, speculation in SPACs, which are shell companies with no business purpose, and an S&P price-earning ratio of 36, stocks are well pricey. Liquidity via Fed bond purchases, record margin debt, and the $1.69 trillion spending bill will likely keep the party going at least into the seasonal top of May in June. The Economist, Imperfect Yet Essential, by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group. The latest stimulus comes with a price tag of $1.9 trillion, adding to the $4 trillion authorized last year. The final bill is a mixed bag, with numerous provisions crucial to sustaining the recovery, but others less essential. Such is inevitably the case when anything of significance grinds its way through the congressional sausage maker. Make no mistake, however, a substantial package was indeed necessary. Many Americans will be receiving $1,400 checks, with the first payments beginning to arrive, an extra $300 weekly in unemployment for a year, an expansion of the child tax credit, and other payments will also bring funds to many households. Money will go to schools, state and local governments, and vaccination programs. Certain pensions are among the beneficiaries. In addition, there are subsidies for buying health insurance under the Affordable Care Act and to certain states that opt to expand coverage. There are provisions to help small enterprises, key sectors, and other elements of the economy. These outlays and others are generally aimed at partially relieving the financial stresses many families are facing, which in all too many cases have become both extreme and enduring. In normal times, about 70% of the U.S. economy is driven by consumer spending. Pumping money into the spending stream will enhance overall growth. Other stressed entities are also supported, decreasing the chances of future meltdowns. There is merit, however, to the claim that relief could have been more targeted. Even if an individual did not miss any paychecks through the pandemic, for instance, an aid check will still be forthcoming if income requirements are met. Moreover, many cities and states have not seen the notable declines in revenues which was feared. Distribution policy is rarely done with a scalpel, but rather a machete. Other provisions introduce questions of fairness or the incentives which are generated. At some point down the road, the total level of debt will come into play. As I began saying a year ago, this crisis was precipitated by the pandemic, and the keys to coming back robustly are 1, getting the virus under control, and 2, keeping our economic structure and integrity together in the interim. The CARES Act helped initially, as did aggressive actions by the Federal Reserve, but this situation became worse and lasted longer than anticipated. The skinny bill passed last year was both too long in coming and insufficient in magnitude to hold things together. As we continue to progress with vaccinations and therapeutics, the economic rebound will be enhanced. The stimulus package provides a bridge to the time when full operations can resume. It also helps individuals, companies, and public entities through daunting challenges. Imperfect yet essential. Stay safe.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org. Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, March 21st, 2021, Life and Times. Tips to spring clean your home inside and out. family features. Spring cleaning isn't just about purging dirt and grime. It's also the perfect opportunity to take inventory of items around your home. As you tackle this season's cleaning, look for ways to improve your overall living space, from getting rid of things you no longer need to adding items that can work harder for you. Consider these five ways to tackle your home inside and out this spring. Make organizing easier. As you clean each space, look for easy ways to reduce unsightly messes and improve organization. If your entryway always becomes a jumbled pile of shoes and coats, consider adding a storage bench and hooks to bring some order to the area. If the kids' toys always accumulate in the living room, add a storage chest or large baskets to store them when not in use. If tools and equipment make the garage unusable, install shelving units to keep everything in place. Eliminate the excess. Spring cleaning is also an opportunity to declutter and make way for something new, either by donating or selling unused things. Whether it's last season's fashions and accessories or unused tech and fitness gear, that item you never used or haven't used in a while may be exactly what someone else is looking for. Online platforms can make the process easy and be a way to earn extra cash or help fund other home upgrades. Look for marketplaces that help you maximize your return. eBay, for example, is giving sellers 200 free listings every month, meaning you only pay after your items sell. Reimagine your living space. If one area is becoming too crowded or doesn't serve your family's needs,